Okay, so calcium. It's good for bones, right? We all know that, but what about all these headlines saying supplements are bad?
Yeah, it's definitely not as simple as the milkheads would have us believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So today we're going to deep dive into a mountain of research, medical journals, the latest news, everything, to try and figure out what's really going on with calcium.
We'll try to pull out those key takeaways, separate the facts from the hype.
And hopefully answer some of your burning questions along the way. I think it's safe to assume most of us know the basics. Calcium builds strong bones. But what about supplementation? Does popping a pill actually make a difference long term?
That's the million-dollar question, and the research doesn't give us a simple yes or no.
Figures. So where do we even begin?
Well, there was this one study that followed young women for years, all the way from childhood to adulthood. They looked at how calcium supplements affected bone growth, especially during puberty.
Ah, the teenage years. A critical time for building those bone banks. So what do they find?
It turns out those supplements did have a significant impact. The group taking calcium supplements had much higher bone accretion compared to those who weren't.
Bone accretion.
It's basically a fancy way of saying how much bone the body is adding.
Oh, okay. So more bone growth in the supplement group. Interesting. Did they specify the type of supplements?
They did, mostly calcium carbonate and calcium citrate, two of the most common ones you see everywhere.
Right. Makes sense to study those. But you said they followed these women long term. Did the benefits last?
Well, that's where things get a bit more complex. While the supplements clearly had an impact during that growth spurt, those effects seem to diminish over time.
So while a boost during those peak bone-building years might be helpful, it's not a guarantee for life.
Exactly. It's not a one-time fix it and forget it kind of thing. And this is why so many experts are really starting to emphasize diet over supplements.
Makes sense. Build a strong foundation first.
Right. Think of supplements as more of a backup plan, not the primary strategy.
So when is supplementation actually recommended for teens?
It really depends on their diet. If they're already getting enough calcium naturally, around 1,300 milligrams a day, then supplements might not be necessary.
1,300 milligrams. That's a lot. I can see how some teenagers might struggle to hit that.
You're right, which is why a balanced diet full of calcium-rich foods is so important. Things like dairy, leafy greens, even some fortified foods can help bridge that gap.
Okay, so that's teenagers. What about adults? Do the same rules apply, or do things change as we age?
That's where it gets even more interesting, and that's what we'll be diving into next.
So we've talked about building those bone banks early on, but now I'm curious about the potential downsides, especially for adults. Is there such a thing as too much calcium?
That's the question, isn't it? And unfortunately, there's no easy answer. Too little calcium, you might miss out on some benefits. Too much, well, you might get into some problems.
So it's all about finding that balance. What kind of problems are we talking about here?
Well, on the milder side, excessive calcium can cause some digestive issues like constipation.
Okay, yeah, not fun.
Not at all. And then there's the risk of kidney stones, which are definitely not something you want to experience.
Kidney stones, those sound painful. How does calcium even factor into that?
They're basically hard deposits that form in your kidneys when certain substances in your urine get too concentrated, and calcium is one of those substances.
So if you're constantly overloading your system with calcium.
Your kidneys might not be able to keep up, and those deposits can start to form. But here's the kicker. It's not just about too much calcium. There's also emerging research looking at the potential downsides of too little calcium.
Too little. I thought calcium was supposed to be good for your heart.
Right. Some studies have shown that, especially for younger people. But there's also a growing body of research exploring the link between low calcium intake and a higher risk of cardiovascular problems.
Okay, now I'm confused. Too much is bad. Too little is bad. What's going on?
It all comes down to how our bodies regulate calcium levels. When those levels dip too low, our bodies release a hormone called parathyroid hormone, or PTH.
PTH, and what does that do?
Think of it as a calcium regulator. It basically pulls calcium from our bones to bring those levels back up.
Interesting. So our bodies have this backup system to keep things in check.
Exactly. But here's where it gets tricky. While PTH is essential for maintaining that balance, chronically high levels, which can be caused by persistently low calcium intake, can actually have negative effects.
Like what?
Studies are showing a link between high PTH levels and high blood pressure, which is a major risk factor for heart disease.
So it's like this chain reaction, low calcium, high PTH, high blood pressure, and then potentially heart problems.
Precisely.
It really makes you realize how interconnected everything is. So how do we find that sweet spot? If both extremes are bad, what's the right amount of calcium?
Well, that's where things get really personalized. What works for one person might not work for another.
So there's no magic number?
Not really, but there are some general guidelines we can follow, and this is where diet comes in.
So we've talked about the risks of too much calcium, too little calcium. It seems like a real balancing act. How do we make sure we're getting enough without overdoing it?
Right, and that brings us to one of the biggest takeaways from all this research. It might not be just about how much calcium we get, but where we get it from.
You mean supplements versus food?
Exactly. A lot of experts are starting to think that our bodies might handle calcium from food differently than calcium from a pill.
Interesting. So like a cup of yogurt versus a calcium supplement.
Right. We've been eating calcium-rich foods for millennia. Our bodies are pretty good at absorbing it from those sources.
Right.
Supplements, on the other hand, that's a relatively new thing.
So does that mean we should ditch the supplements altogether? Just focus on diet?
Well, it's not quite that simple, but it's definitely something to consider. Our bodies are designed to get nutrients from food. It's a complex process that supplements might not be able to fully replicate.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are some of those top calcium-rich foods? You mentioned dairy. What else?
Dairy's great. Milk, yogurt, cheese, those are all good sources. But if you don't do dairy, leafy green vegetables are fantastic. Kale, spinach, collard greens, those are all surprisingly high in calcium.
I actually love those.
And don't forget about fortified foods. They can be an easy way to sneak in a little extra calcium. Cereals, plant-based milks, even some orange juices are fortified these days.
Right. It's like bonus calcium.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can see getting enough calcium from your diet is definitely doable, even without supplements.
Okay. So that's good news. But I guess everyone's different, right?
Absolutely. It's always a good idea to talk to your doctor or a registered dietitian to figure out what's best for you.
Great advice. So I guess the takeaway here is calcium is important. Moderation is key.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on those calcium-rich foods, and supplements are there if you need them.
And it might not be as simple as just the amount of calcium, but also the source. Something to think about.
Definitely a lot to consider. What stands out to you? Any burning calcium questions? We'd love to hear your thoughts. That's it for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.